Noah, revivals, meetings, they go too quick. And just about the time you get used to everybody, it's time to go. But I'll say tonight that I really appreciate being here this week. I count it an honor, one of the highlights of my ministry. Now, I mean that. I'm not saying it. One of the highlights of my ministry, I'll go away from here, is preaching right here, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. I've had a few highlights of my ministry that I've enjoyed. I think the first time I ever preached for Dr. Beatty, that was a great highlight. I think other times that I've been able to stand. But right here will be a week I'll remember. The church has been so kind to me, and I've not been in a church that's got more hospitality than here. And I appreciate what you've done this week. The fellas in the sound room, folk on the instruments, the brother that leads the singing. And you've been faithful to your church this week. You've been here, most have been here every night. And I appreciate that, I really do. And then I would say this tonight, the preacher and his wife and his family, it's been a joy to meet you. I mean, I knew of Brother Hayworth. I've saw him a time or two in meeting. And I didn't know him that well. But I mean, when you're saved and somebody else is saved, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you just pick up just like that. And I feel like I've known these folk all my life. And Brother Hayworth's a good man of God. I can tell that. And then praise the Lord, him and his wife, they love the Lord. You got a good preacher and a good preacher's wife. You better take care of them, love them, and I believe you do that. Don't take them for granted. I'll tell you that. Now, so many churches are doing that in this day and hour. And I just want to say this. I travel different places, not that many, but I do go different places. And I was telling the preacher this evening, you've got unity in this church, and you better keep it. I'm telling you, better keep it, man. I'm telling you, the devil don't like that. And you better keep that, buddy. I'm telling you right now. Amen? But it has been good to be here. It's been good to meet a lot of you this week. And even people's coming up that I know more people here than I thought I did in this church. Amen? And Miss Linda, I'm glad you came and introduced yourself to me. We had some business together a few years ago there with the banks and different things. Matter of fact, the bank she used to work for called me the other day, wanted to loan me $300,000. And I about had a nervous breakdown. How'd I pay that back? I said, no. So I signed Brother Hayworth's name to the loan. No. Now he's about to have a nervous breakdown. Or maybe she is. I don't know. But anyway, no. But no. But what it was, I was horsing around with the bank a little bit. There was a radio station came up for sale in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that bank had merged with First Tennessee. And I didn't realize it merged. And Brother Ballou and myself was talking about that station. It went into 54 counties down in Chattanooga last year. And I just called the bank, just really playing around with them. I said, would y'all loan me the money? Yes, sir, we'll loan you the money, Mr. Cawthon. We believe it's the will of God. You come up here. I said, whoa. I don't know about all this yet. Well, this Chinese woman owned it, and she backed out or sold it to somebody else, and somebody had kind of turned her away from the gospel. So not long ago, the bank called me. It's been good night. It's been 8 or 9 months ago. And the lady called me, and she said, preacher, nice lady. And she said, preacher said, would you still be interested in that radio station? We're still interested in loaning you that money. I said, no, ma'am. No, that thing's gone. Amen. I ain't going $300,000 in debt if I can help it. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate the people I've met this week and all of you that I've got to see. And I thank God for it. Amen. You prayed my throat. It's giving me just a little bit of problem, but it'll be all right here in a minute. I usually don't drink a lot of water, but it's giving me a little bit of problem. But I want to say I appreciate the good meal this afternoon and getting to go out with the pastor and his family. And appreciate my wife. She's been here most every night this week. And thank God for her driving me. I give her a hard time, and I love my wife. I want you to know that. I don't want you to go away thinking that preacher don't like his wife. I pick on my wife so much that after we left Northwood the first time, you know, and went to the mountains and started the church, one day on the pastor's radio program, and he airs church messages. You better be careful what you air on the radio. And he airs church. He was preaching to Northwood, and he said, y'all know Brother Cawthon, don't you? He said, he's mean to his wife. I picked my phone up. I said, I guess you know your radio bill just went up. Amen. You know, I'm here. Amen. Blind but not deaf. Amen. And but we love you, and we thank God for it. And I won't ever forget this week. I started telling those ushers a while ago. He said, and I honestly, I'd go preach if nobody didn't give me anything. I mean that. I ain't. But I started telling them, if you're going to do it, look mean so you'll get more. Amen. That's what I tell our ushers at Northway. They'll come down. I aggravate everybody in the service. I really do. I can't get near the instrument players. If I did, I'd aggravate them too. But I aggravate the ushers. My wife just shakes her head. You know, she don't ever know what I'm going to do next. But, well, I told you last night in a little joke. I hope I didn't offend anybody. But I tell you last night, you know, I do. I like the way the black preachers preach. There was an old man back in the 60s, I guess, I believe it was Lockridge. Man, he could shell the corn. Yeah. And I like the way some of them, they whine when they preach, and I like that, you know. Now, we don't do that in our churches, you know, but they do that, you know, they whine. And I was thinking about what I heard one time. So this preacher was up preaching, and, you know, he got in a big way of preaching. He said, he said, this here church is sitting here. I said, need to do something for God. Said, this church needs to walk on for God. And the deacon said, let her walk, Reverend, let her walk. And the preacher, he got in a big whip. He said, this church needs to run for God. This church needs to run. The deacon said, let her run, Reverend, let her run. And the preacher kept preaching. He said, you folk need to give more money, help the work of the Lord. And the deacon said, Reverend, let her walk, let her walk. About the way people do, you know. But I appreciate what you give and what you do tonight. Well, again, I appreciate being here. This is a time in my life that I don't take any place that God gives me lightly. I started out preaching. I never have asked a man for a place to preach. Never have. Now, we have missions meetings. We go by churches and things like that. We have done that. But I've never asked a man for a place to preach. Now, I'm not criticizing any preacher. What I'm getting ready to say right here. I've never got on Facebook, said I got open dates if you want to book me. I never do that. I feel like, and I told God when I started into this, because this wasn't my idea. I'd pastor. God said, no, that ain't what I want you to do. I want you to be go in evangelist work. And I'm staying in. This is what God wants, I reckon, as far as I know. But I said, now, God, here's what I want. This will be your testimony. You get the meetings. You do what you want to do. And God's blessed our ministry. Tomorrow we'll make a public announcement concerning our FM radio in Sparta, our FM translator. It'll be a translator. I don't know how far it'll go down here. And I don't know when we'll get it up because we're working on Dobson first. So it may be next year before we get it up. It'll be 107.3. So you pray for us about that. And I think my wife's got some cards with her, prayer cards, if you want one of them. Do follow us on Facebook, Gospel Broadcasting, because that's where we make all of our announcements at right there on Facebook. And then our stations, the AM, the Dobson's 1560, some of you ask, and then the Sparta station is 1060. And I'm working with these phone fellas. Brother Scott's working with me on something, and we're working on a deal that I've been working on for a long time, but he's going to help me with it. And I want to tell you how the Lord works. Last year, I had to call the phone company over here about some things, and my phone gave me the wrong number, but it gave me the right number. I was supposed to got billing, I got engineering. Brother Scott answered the phone. And he got talking to me a minute, and he said, well, I listen to Sparta radio. He said, I listen to Brother Ricky Cawthorn on there. I said, you're talking to him. And we got talking, and God was been bringing the thing in for about 2 or 3 years. See, we're on the TV. There was Skybest Skyline in Allegheny, Ash, Watauga, and wherever else they go, Avery, I believe it is, in Shady Valley, Tennessee, about 4 or 5 counties. Well, there's something big in the works. I can't really say all about it publicly, but there's some things going on. And God brought me in favor there. Brother Scott's going to help me a little bit. And I appreciate you, me and Brother Adam, and you fellas. I appreciate what you're doing. And we're going to work together. We're going to get the gospel out around here. Amen? Amen. Amen. I was picking Miss Marlowe a while ago. I asked her, she's sitting in the back. I said, you sit in the back so you can run when I get preaching. And amen. I may run when I preach if I look around and see how many people are here. All right. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, please, chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 tonight. I announced to you earlier in the week I was going to preach something that would change your life. But last night while I was preaching, God gave me another thought, and this has been on my heart today. I believe this is exactly what we need to do. This one right here may change your life too if you'll let it. But I've never preached this sermon anywhere, but God gave me a thought last night. And I want to preach something tonight to be a help to you. 1 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament, of course, chapter number 1. If you'll stand with me, please, tonight. I don't read a lot of Scripture when I preach. I hope that don't bother you. A lot of preachers read. To be honest with you, sometimes I think some preachers overread, but that's them, and they can do what they want to. There's a big debate in our country about expository preaching versus topical preaching. I say preach the way it comes out, but there's a catch to that. If you're going to preach topical, make sure you're giving the people something, and make sure you do spend time in the Bible. It's very easy to get a topical message and not study, but I want to study every verse I use in my sermon. I want to know that it's in the right context of the Scripture, and I mean that. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight, look at verse number 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Father, again tonight, once again, I stand on this side of eternity. I need your help tonight. I confess my sin. I need the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight to help me deliver what I need to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. I want to preach to you on one word tonight. Paul said, "Grace be unto you and peace." I want to preach on the word grace tonight. I was preaching about that last night, talking about death, the hardest sermon I preached in my life last night. But God began to burden my heart today about grace. Grace. And I want to preach to you a little while about grace tonight. Now the word grace is found 122 times in the New Testament. And as I began to study this today, I found some interesting things out about grace. Now the Corinthian church was a carnal church. The church of Corinth is a big city, about 750,000, and they say about 500,000 of those were slaves. And these people were in idol worship, and they were in all kinds of things, and God began to save them. And the largest church was the church of Corinth, but it was the most carnal church. But yet God said, "Grace be unto you." Now Paul used this greeting in all of his epistles, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Now notice the order of that. He used grace before peace. By the way, you've got to have grace before you can get peace. You've got to get saved before you can get peace. Amen? A lot of people are trying to get peace without grace. You know what? You don't work that way. You've got to get grace first. Now, grace is the Greek greeting, and peace was a Hebrew greeting. Matter of fact, some Jews today still use the word shalom as a greeting. It means peace. I had a fellow working for me. We was laughing about this the other day. And Ben Carper, Dr. Carper, that's Dr. Harold Sattler's grandson. And Dr. Carper is my friend. He's on our station. And Dr. Carper, I don't know if he still does this or not, but he used to end his broadcast by saying shalom. And one morning, one of my announcers didn't realize he was on the air when Dr. Carper went off the air, and Dr. Carper said shalom, and that man keyed the mic and said, "What in the world is that?" He thought he spoke an unknown tongue. He didn't know what he was talking about. So when Dr. Carper came by the church, he asked him, "What in the world is shalom?" I don't know what that means. But anyway, it's peace. But God greeted the churches with grace. Can I say that there is grace for every believer? Can I say this, that God will give you grace when you need it? If you don't need it, there's no need in God giving it to you. God don't give you what you don't need. Did you know that? Now, one fellow has said this. By the way, you say, what does grace mean? Grace means favor. That's what it means, just the favor of God. One fellow said this, that grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. I thought that's a pretty good definition, didn't you? Grace. Grace, if you want to do an acrostic with it, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's redeemed at Christ's expense. We are God's redeemed tonight because of the grace of God. Amen. God's grace has extended to all of us. So in a little while tonight, I want to preach to you on the subject of grace. Now tonight, let me start out by saying this. Number one, there's grace for the sinner. I want to thank God tonight, there's grace for every sinner. There's grace for every man. Amen? This Sally's going to heaven and Sam's going to hell, predestined to go to heaven. That's a bunch of false doctrine, friend. And let me tell you something, everybody can get saved. Black, white, rich, poor. Jesus said, come unto me. Yes. C-O-M-E. Come. Children can come. Old folk can come. Middle-aged folk can come. Everybody can come. Drunks can come. Harlots can come. Good moral people can come. Liquors drinkers can come. Dope smokers can come. Thieves can come. Boys can come. Girls can come. Women can come. Men can come. Anybody can come that is lost, thank God. They can come get saved tonight. Grace is for the sinner. You and I forget sometimes where we came from. I think one of the most interesting verses in our King James Bible, I'm honest with you, and you know sometimes we look for the deep theological things in the Bible and we miss the very simple things. I pray 10 prayers before I ever preach any sermon. Now you don't hear me pray them, but I never preach a sermon, and I'm talking about every time I preach, even if I preach the same sermon, I pray it again. I pray 10 prayers over every sermon that I preach. And the 10th prayer I pray is, Lord, make it simple to the people. You know where I think preachers are failing in our day? They're preaching, but they're not preaching to the people. They're not connecting with you people in the pew. You that work 8 to 5 every day. You that are there in the pew. You need to pay. You need something. You need preaching. You need spiritual help when you go to church. I'm not saying you're pastoral, and I know he does do that. But I'm saying as preachers as a whole tonight, if they're not careful, they build their ego and how they can preach. It's not how I can preach. It's how I can help you, friend. The whole goal, and he said it last night, I knew there's not a man in the world. I love people. Matter of fact, I've never met a man I don't like. You say, preacher, I just don't like so-and-so. Well, wait a minute now. We've got to love everybody. You say, preacher, I don't like their ways. Well, you get around them, you might even like their ways. Now, you know, I got ways. My wife's got certain ways. And I'm having to learn, being married, that, it don't always work my way all the time. I used to think it was my way and no other way, and if you didn't agree with me, you was wrong. But if you'll study it, that's what lost the South, the Civil War. Because that's what Jefferson Davis believed. That's why he never could win the war with his generals, seriously. He thought it had to be his way or no way, and he spent half his life arguing. You ought to have seen the letters that went back and forth between him and his generals. And here's the deal, friend, tonight. It's not always our way, but anyway, what I'm saying to you is this, that we've all got ways, but God loves every one of us. One of the most interesting verses in your Bible is the book of John chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. You know why he must needs go through Samaria? Because there's a woman over there lost. And the Samaritans, the Jews didn't like them, and the Gentiles didn't like them. They were a bunch of half-breeds. Nobody liked them. But Jesus said, hey, there's a woman over there. I got to go get saved. You see, if we're not careful, we're saved by grace, and we forget there's a lost and dying world out there. Now, I like what one of a preacher friend I heard say this the other day. The world ought to be welcome in our churches. Now, I'm talking about, when I say that, I'm talking about the people. But worldliness should not.
Amen?
Amen. World should be welcome. The outside public ought to be welcome. I mean, I'm just going to say it tonight. These mom and pop churches, it's family owned and operated and run. I'm going to tell you now, they never do anything for God. And all it is about 30 or 40 people that want to run stuff, and they have their own little thing, and they hire and fire the preacher every year or two. That stuff like that never goes. But you take an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church that believes in the Great Commission, believes in getting people saved, believes in supporting missionaries, they'll go and thrive for years and years and years, because what you want is people getting saved, man.
Amen.
If you ever lose that thrill, you ought to want to see everybody get saved.
Amen.
You ought to want to see anybody get saved. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, there's grace for the sinner tonight. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd be in the same mess that woman at the well was, man.
Right.
Man, she is in a mess.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus already knew everything there was to know, but Jesus asked a lot of questions in the Bible. Not to gain knowledge. He asked questions because he wanted to put other people thinking. And he said to this woman, he said, go call your husband. Well, if you're going to get saved, you've got to acknowledge your sin, first of all. Amen. And she said, Lord, I have none. He said, you spoke true. He said, you've had 5. The one you got now ain't your husband. Man, she'd had so many bad marriages. I mean, she must have been from Hollywood. And she had so many bad marriages. She said, man, I'm going to give up and just start living together. That's what the world's doing now.
Right.
You ever thought about that? She had 6 fellas. She met number 7. That's Jesus. Number 7, the Bible, number perfection. Amen.
Yeah.
She met him. She didn't need anybody else. Amen. I mean, she got saved. I think about that night. Those 3 men from Macedonia came down Macedonia Church Road from the Maple Springs Baptist Church. Ronnie Calloway and Wayne Blevins and another fellow. Wayne's in heaven. I saw Ronnie at Mama's funeral and thanked him. They kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And Daddy wouldn't go to church. And he said, I ain't got any shoes. They give Daddy $20 and he... Went and bought more beer with it. But one night in 1975, I'm not sure exactly which date it would have been, but it would have been the 4th, 11th, 18th, or 25th of September, one of the Thursdays in September. I wished I knew the day. But thanks be to God, my mama knelt down that old farmhouse because those men loved an old drunk family. Those men didn't look down on us. They just kept on coming back and coming back and coming back. And thank God mama got saved that night. I didn't know all of what they was to know, but honey, I knew grace had done come in that home. Amen. I lived in a home we bet and called car races on Sunday. I took my daddy's and my uncle's money at 8 years old. I got my daddy's beer at 8 years old. Were it not for the grace of God, I'd be a drunkard tonight. I'd be in jail or be in hell. But I want to tell you, glory be to God, I'm about to get religious. I want to tell you, friend, the night mama got saved by grace, I didn't understand what had happened in our home. But I knew somebody had done something, glory to God, and it was a Savior. A few years later, I went to the house of God and I understood it. I was sitting there thinking today about the day I got saved. Yeah. And you pardon me for a minute, but I had me a spell. There wasn't nobody at home but me and the possums and the skunks and the raccoons. And glory to God, I had me a spell, glory to God. Thinking about 40 years ago, I knelt down and got saved by grace. Amen. And God loved me just as I am. Amen. God didn't say you got to be rich to be saved. Now, I kidded with y'all Sunday and said, we're so poor. When I was growing up, we had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and lick other people's fingers. You laugh about that, but we probably wasn't that poor. But we was poor. You know what we did for entertainment? My daddy went down to Weinberger's Grocery. Of course, that's the place where they sold beer. That's what he did when I was growing up. And he'd go in there and get them little sparklers. You know them little fireworks, them little sparklers. He'd stick them in the holes in our heater and tell me and my brother's spaceship. Amen. I mean, we didn't have no one. We hadn't got burned up in the house fire. I mean, what I'm saying is our stuff is old. And man, I mean, we didn't have nothing. But you know what? After Mama got saved, we had love in her home. Amen. Amen. Jesus come by. Yeah. I told you about my mama. She'd sit and she'd sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Man, she'd teach me all this stuff. My mama had the clearest voice of anybody I ever heard sing in my life. I mean, I honestly, Brother Archie Watkins is, and I say this when I say it, he's a personal friend of mine. I don't mean that I just met him somewhere. I mean, me and Archie are pretty close friends. And Archie's my buddy. He'd sing that song, Two Shoes. I'm honest, I believe my mama could beat Archie Watkins on Two Shoes. And I told her one day, I said, I'm going to tell Archie, you better tell him that. And she knew I'd do it, amen? And but anyhow, here's the deal. My mama could sing. And I mean, when God saved her, grace came by that home. And glory to God, two preachers came out of that. And I'm going to, you know what my mama told me 2 weeks before she died? She said, son, I want you to stay a preacher. And by the grace of God, I'm going to stay a preacher. Amen. Why? Because I got grace to preach tonight. Amen. Man, there's grace for the sinner tonight, amen. You know of somebody, you just keep praying for them. Don't you ever take this attitude, well, they won't never get saved. With that attitude, they probably won't, but you just love the Lord. Number two, did you know along with that, but there's grace for service tonight. Yeah. Man, did you know God ain't going to put you in anything? He won't take care of you. Right. My life's verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When God puts you in, if God puts you in a Sunday school class, God will give you grace to teach it. Right. I was very impressed, our Sunday school teacher on Sunday. I appreciate this brother that taught Sunday school. He prayed for him and the other, not just himself, but he said, I want to pray for me and the other brother that's teaching this class. I thought that was real unity. I think that's the way it ought to be. Amen. And praise God, let me tell you something. God will give you grace. Sometimes, y'all ever got nervous doing anything for God? I told the preacher, I just be honest with you, I hear a lot of preachers say, I get nervous before I get up preaching. And I don't want to say this mostly, but a lot of people say, well, praise God, I'd worry about you if you didn't get nervous. Well, I don't see where they get that in the Bible. I don't know how you get nervous or you don't, but a lot of times I don't get nervous before I preach. Does that make me unspiritual? I'm sorry, I hope it don't. Now, me and Brother Hayward's talking about a certain man that we preach for. He's our brother, and we love him to death. But now, he can be very intimidating. He'll sit behind you, and you don't know if he likes it or not. You really just same expression. I wanted to go over and pinch him a few times, make sure he's living, and I didn't know. But what I'm saying, this week I've been nervous about preaching. I don't know why. But what I'm saying to you is this flesh, amen. But God will never give you anything you can't do. I'm just going to be honest. Many of you do not know the whole story. But I had a very hard time preaching the sermon I preached last night. There was a certain situation. Why? After I realized what it was, I I realized that, man, I mean, I argued with God. I didn't want to, but you know what? I did the right thing. I did the right thing, and I die right here knowing that I did the right thing last night. I did the right thing. Right here's the deal. God will give you grace in any situation, man. I mean, listen, man, God will take care of you if you serve the Lord. And boy, there's times it don't look right. Several years ago, we bought Sparta Radio. They didn't like it because we bought Sparta Radio. I mean, they fit me in the mountains. They even went to the county commissioners and tried to get them to stop the sale, or they couldn't stop it. But I mean, brother, there was all kind of fighting going on. They got out there, and we went in there. We had a bank appraiser go up there. It's a different bank. Now, we tried to borrow money from about five different banks during that banking crisis. We had this bank inspector go up there, and we walked in one day, and those Fruit Loops that were in there running that thing, they had signs up everywhere. Electrical don't work. Plumbing don't work. They did it. They knew I was coming. Did it on purpose. And they had one man hid down there around the corner, and he called his wife. She was running the thing. And she said, "Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Our radio station's not for sale." "No, sir." She on the phone with him. And it just, I don't know what it did to that inspector, but it tore me up and I got on my nerves. I called the man on. I said, "If you want to sell this thing, you better straighten these people out." And we was fit the whole time we bought that thing. We raised about $50,000. And we finally come to our senses, and we went to the bank that Miss Linda was working for at that time. And as a matter of fact, we went to five banks. We couldn't get any money. And I was sitting there in the office one day, and my secretary said, "Well, why don't you try the bank we've already got the other loan with?" I said, "You're crazy. We owe them a bunch of money. They ain't going to let us borrow no money." Guess what? I called him. He said, "Yeah, I believe we can let you borrow some money." Now, they were really good. They're good to work with. But I understand why the fella did this. I really didn't need to get a hold of what I'm telling you. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm talking about God giving you grace during service. If God's in it, you can't stop it.
Amen.
And man can't stop it. Let me just read you two verses before I finish the story. Elijah said this in first. God said this in 1 Kings. "I have commanded the ravens. I have commanded the widow woman. I've already done it, friend. I've already supplied your need."
Amen.
We raised $50,000. We got ready to close the deal. Bank loan was in place. Everything was ready, and the paralegal called me, which happens to be a friend of ours now, and they called me and said, "We can't close this deal." I'm talking, we borrowed, I don't know how much money, we're $80-some thousand, I think we borrowed at that time. We had raised $50,000, we borrowed $80,000, and said, "We can't close the deal, this man owes taxes." Wasn't about $300 in taxes. I just went and paid them for him and forgot about it. But they drug around closing the deal, and one day the bank called me. Now, it wasn't Miss Linda here, but it's somebody that worked in that bank, a different person. And they called me and they said, "Preacher said, we can't give you any more time. We've got to pull your loan." I sat down in the middle of the floor. Now, everybody listen to me. I sat down in the middle of the floor. Now, I'm going somewhere with this in what is my wife's office now. I sat down there and began to cry. I said, "Christy, we've raised $50,000. We're going to have to give all this money back. We're in a mess. It's going to ruin my ministry. I don't know what to do." I was sitting out at the house one day, and you know how we try to work things out ourselves? Can I tell you, God's got the grace. Don't try to use your brains. Just use His grace. I picked the phone up and called somebody I knew, and I could just feel it was cold as a dog's nose. And that person said, "Well, call this other person." It got colder. And the Holy Ghost said, "Don't call that person. Don't call them." And you know, we tried to do it anyway. I called them, got their voicemail, cold as a dog's nose, I think. A few minutes, the Holy Ghost told me what to do. He said, "Why don't you call the president of that bank?" I said, "Lord, the president?" I said, "Lord, there ain't no way I'm going to get to no president of no bank." And looked at Christy. I said, "Christy, God's told me to call the president." I said, "Get me a phone number." She Googled headquarters in Asheboro, North Carolina. She said, "Ricky, do you know how many numbers they are here?" I said, "Honey, at this point, just pick one. It don't matter." Y'all ain't going to believe this. That's why Baptists don't ever get anything. They don't believe nothing. Y'all ain't going to believe this. The first number we picked, we called it, and the lady said, you know, whatever bank it was, said, "Hello, could I help you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I need to speak with the president." She said, "Hold on, sir." In a minute, this voice come on the line. I will never forget. Somebody told me this lady's last name the other day, and I wished I'd remembered. I don't remember the last name, but I remember the first name. Every time I see a girl named Brooke, I think about Brooke. I've never met Brooke, but I'll tell you about Brooke. There's a little girl come on the line, and she said, "This is Brooke." Said, "I'm the president's secretary. Could I help you?" Boy, by that time, I was feeling pretty good. And I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, I don't know if you can or not, but I need to speak to the president." And she said, "Well, that's fine. You can talk to him." She said, "He's in a meeting right now, and he'll be glad to call you, but would you tell me what you need?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I went through the whole story, how we had borrowed the money and raised the money and was there, and they've got to pull the loan. She said, "Sir, you don't need to speak to the president. I'll have you help by 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't you worry about a thing." I said, "Okay." I hung the phone up, and I lie you not, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and the man said, "Sir, we don't do our customers that way. You take as long as you need, glory to God. I'm telling you, God will supply your need when you serve God." Amen. And we just about got them paid off, amen. And I tell you right now, hey, I'm going to tell you what, God, amen, you can't be. Oh, Elijah goes out there, and God said, now, and Ahab would have killed him. I mean, he'd have killed him. And Elijah goes out, and he said, God said, Elijah, you get over there by that brook, and you hide yourself. I have commanded the ravens to sustain thee there. I really ain't got time to tell you what happened. I'm not adding to the Bible, but my story is as good as anything, any commentary you'll ever read on it. You know what I really believe? Now, by the way, God fed that Jew with a dirty bird. Y'all ever wondered where Elijah got that food? You really think, you say, "Well, I'll just tell you now, preacher, that's probably raw meat." Well, I don't believe that, but if I went along with you on that, where'd he get the bread? Did God drop him cornmeal with a note that said, "Bake it, big boy"? I tell you what I believe, because God's got a sense of humor. I believe Ahab and Jezebel sitting at the breakfast table. And I believe Jezebel's sitting there all made up in her makeup. And I believe all of a sudden, they're sitting there eating, and something goes, "Ah! Ah!" And Jezebel said, "Ahab, what in the world is it?" About the time a raven flies through the window. And Jezebel jumps up and says, "Ah!" About like some of you women do, you know, if you see a mouse or something, you know, "Ah!" And don't worry, I'm with you. Praise God, I would too. If I seen a rat coming toward me, I'd run too. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't tell nobody, it'll ruin my manly image. Amen. I see the headlines, "Blind man runs from rat." But then there's a rebuttal in the paper, "Blind man smarter than them all. He didn't get eat." Hallelujah. But old Ahab's in there, and Jezebel said, "Ahab, get that dirty bird." By the time, here comes another raven. Said ravens with a S on it. "Ah! Ah!" Here come them ravens right in that kitchen. Praise God, one of them reached down and grabbed the biscuits. The other one grabbed a bowl of gravy. Praise God, one of them grabbed a plate of ham. "Ah! Get them dirty birds out of here, Ahab!" Here they go, man, putting in high gear. They fly over and drop that right for the man of God. You shall believe that. Well, you can't prove it didn't happen, amen. I don't know what it did, but I know there's grace, thank God. God will supply your need. He has to use the devil to do it sometimes. The little woman said one day, she was in there, she didn't have nothing to eat. She was down, "Oh, God, would you give me something to eat? Would you just give me just a loaf of bread?" Her neighbor said, "Huh, I'll fix old granny." He went down the store and got a loaf of bread and threw it through the window. Man, she seen that bread, she went to shouting, "Woo, glory to God!" He knocked on her door. Granny come to the door all excited. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "I just want to tell you that that's praying to God stupid." He said, "There you are, sitting there praying." He said, "I just want you to know I'm the one that threw that bread through your window." And she went to shouting more. "Woo, glory to God." He said, "What's wrong with you now?" She said, "God supplied my need. If he had to use a devil to do it, amen." Hallelujah. God give you grace, buddy. Amen. Grace for service, glory to God. Don't you worry about it. If it's God's will, it's God's deal, amen.
Amen.
Number three, I want to say there's grace tonight for the situation that you're in. I have no idea what you're going through in this building tonight. I have no idea what you'll face when you get home tonight. I have no idea what your home life or your job life is like. I don't know, but I know everybody has problems. Young or old. Did you know even little kids have problems? They lose their toy train or an arm off of their baby doll, and that bothers them as much as your motor tearing up in your car. Or your blades falling off your lawnmower, or somebody running in the side of your house. I mean, brother, let me tell you something tonight. We all have problems. But young or old, can I tell you, grace will solve your problems.
Amen.
Down through the years, God's given me grace. You know, I was born blind, and I'll be honest with you, people's made fun of me all my life and different things, and I don't let that bother me. My eyesight just flat don't bother me. Somebody went and told Scott Caudle one time I was in the service. They went and told Scott Caudle, said there's a retarded man here, said if he stands up and says he's a preacher, don't believe him. He's talking about me, you know. And I never talked to Scott about it. I need to ask him about that. But here's the deal. People's done things. I mean, when I was in school, and it's pretty good to me in school, but they used to get in school, and they'd make it up. You know, let me just say it like this. I wasn't good at sports because I couldn't see. But, you know, I wanted to be competitive like everybody else. But when I shot a basket, both teams stopped and cheered. It's okay, you can laugh. It's okay, it's fine. I laugh about it myself. It's funny. I mean, when we played softball, the captains would get together and say, now, if Catherine makes an out, don't count it. You know, it's fine. It's fine. But I'm just simply telling you through all that, God, give me grace. I'm not mad about that. Man, I'm reaching thousands of people, and if I wasn't where I am today, I probably wouldn't even be doing radio. If I had my full sight, I probably wouldn't do radio. I'm glad, and you know, to be honest with you, I'm glad I can't drive. No. You say, well, why? I see the way some of you drive. I don't want to. Beep, 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 beep. God bless you. Got a bumper sticker on your back of your car. Said, Jesus loves you. Done run through 3 traffic lights. Knocked an old lady off the street corner on her walker. I love the Lord. I'm just in a hurry, preacher. I'm sorry about that. Policeman chase you 5 miles down the road, and you look up and say, I'm sorry, officer, was that speeding? But, you know, God give you grace for every sin. Don't you whine, complain, cause you, well, I've got a disability, preacher. Well, praise God, I fall down steps. I told you the other night, sit in people's laps, pray when I ain't supposed to, probably preach a time or two. I believe I'll start using that to my advantage. When they call somebody to preach, I say, you mean me? Turn your Bibles to it. Just jump up and preach, huh? I mean, you know, blind man get away. My wife told me that. She said, man, somebody's going to kill you one of these days. She said, don't you realize that some of the things you say to people? I said, honey, there ain't nobody going to hit an old gray-headed blind man. Just leave me alone. Then everybody feels sorry for me. But right, here's the deal, man. I mean, you got situation. You know, Paul had a situation. Paul got stoned, the book of Acts. And I believe Paul went to the third heaven. I believe Paul saw things wasn't lawful for a man to utter. And I believe Paul saw revelations. And he said, through the abundance of revelation, there was a messenger of Satan given me. Now, you can believe what you want to about the thorn of the flesh. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I've heard all kind of tales about the thorn of the flesh. But if you'll read your Bible, I'll tell you what the King James says. It says he was given a messenger of Satan to buff. Let me tell you what happened. Paul had a demon that followed him everywhere he went. He had a messenger of the devil. I thought about this the other day. Paul's over there in Nero's prison in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I mean, Paul's going to die. He said, I'm ready to be offered up. Can you imagine sitting there and he tells them boys to bring the parchments and bring the books. You know, Paul still wanted to study the Word of God even though he knew he was going to die sitting in that prison. But you know what? There's that demon bothering him every day. There's that, I mean, everywhere he went, the devil. And you said, that's proved in the book of Acts. The demon said, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, who are ye? Dr. John Hamlin preached a message on that one night. I've always wanted to preach on that scripture, and he beat me to it. It's a great message. I heard him preach on that. But here's the deal tonight. Did you know, friend, that God will give you grace? And Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, in weakness, he said, my strength make perfect. And then Paul said, I'll most gladly do it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can I tell you, God made you exactly the way you are? We got a preacher in our church, bless his heart, little old young fellow. He stutters. I feel so sorry for him sometimes. He'll try to make a prayer request and he'll go, and then he'll say this, if I could talk. And I went to him the other night. He preached one of the best sermons last Wednesday night I ever heard in my life, a little 20-year-old kid. I mean, almost put me to shame, man. You're doing a whole lot better job than I am tonight. I mean, he was preaching, man. He was letting her go, boy. And you want to know something? I went to him, I said, don't you let that stuttering bother you. God will give you grace, friend. Did you know Moses stuttered? Well, man, don't let things bother you. Well, preacher, I just can't sing good. It don't make no difference how you sing. Honey, it don't make no difference. If you sing so bad that when you sing, they pull the shades and the blinds to heaven. And it don't make no difference if David hangs his harp on a willow and Asaph refuses to lead the heavenly choir and they fly the flag at half mast and dim the lights. It don't make no difference. Just keep on singing, amen. Several years ago, I was pastoring a church. I called on this lady to sing. I try not to be critical of people. And I try not to make fun of people because I've been made fun of in my life. I just don't like people to do that. I don't like that. But I'm honest, that was the awfulest singing I ever heard in my life. I'm telling you, two cats in a milk pail could sing better. I mean, it was awful. I mean, awful does not describe the word. It's the kind of singing peel the paint off the walls and bust every window within 5 miles and raise the dead in the cemetery. I mean, it was pitiful. And I'm sitting there thinking, unto anything. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, boy, you leave her alone. She's doing the best she can. I said, yes, sir, God. The little boy down at Rhonda, North Carolina, named Charles Johnson. Charles is mentally retarded. He loves the Lord. He walked down the streets. Brother Jack Osborne was at Rhonda Tabernacle, was the pastor, and I went back there for a service one night. Now I seen the pastor ask old Charles. He said, Charles, do you want to sing tonight? I seen Charles get in the pulpit with a boom box, and he turned Pig McCamey on. And he let the McCamey sing, and Charles standing there trying to sing with him. You say, well, that's just beneath me. Let me tell you one thing. He's doing a whole lot better than somebody that won't sing. Yeah. Any man that can sing and won't sing ought to be sent to sing, sing, and made to sing. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can sing, you ought to sing for the glory of God. Amen. I tell you right now, you may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but I tell you, God will give you grace. Do whatever, amen, in the situation you're going through. You say, preacher, you don't understand what it is in my family. God will give you grace. God will give you grace. He gave several years ago, me and Christy just had got married. Since we've been married, we've moved three times. We've pastored two churches. We've been in missions twice, just the way God worked everything out. We had to move three families in three weekends one time. I mean, Daddy and Mama, 48 years of marriage, and Mama had to leave him. He was so mean, he almost killed her. And brother, there we was, ended up, we hadn't been married two or three years. We had to take care of Daddy. I thought we was going to get a rest, and the very next few weeks after Daddy died, Mama began to have memory problems. She was having them all along. We didn't know how serious it was. And my friends, do you realize for seven long years, we tried to pastor a church, we tried to take care of our parents, we tried to take care of two radio stations. But I want to tell you, by the grace of God, I'm not here whining tonight like the dear sister said. Hey, man, God's been good. That's just a fitting song. God's been good through it all. God's been good. I wouldn't go back and change it. Amen. It's a year ago today. I took my mom over to that hospital. I didn't think she was sick. They said, man, her heart's out of rhythm. I got her over to the hospital. She almost died. But I tell you right now, I wouldn't change a thing I've done. God give me grace in the situation. I'd already seen my daddy go to the rest home. Now, I understand sometimes they have to go to the nursing home. I understand that. But I'll tell you right now, I don't never want to see nobody go to a nursing home. I sat in Cracker Barrel in Jonesville, North Carolina, and the tears ran off my face into my meatloaf, literally. Sitting there that day, they had to put my daddy in the rest home. I cried over it. Well, it wasn't but a few years later, my mama had to go there. And boy, I wanted mama, she's going to have to go. I wanted her to get in a good one, you know. And I stood over there in the Baptist hospital. I'll never forget it. Not Baptist, but for South Hospital. Stand over there in that heart unit. And man, I tell you what I believe. I believe this like the charismatics do. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Amen. You say, well, I wouldn't say that in the Baptist church. Well, I'm not charismatic, but I'll tell you one thing. God's up there if you'll call on Him. Jeremiah 33:3 is His phone number. It ain't even long distance, so you don't have to go through Wilkes Communications to get it. Sorry, boys. Amen. But hey, He's there. Amen. There goes my TV channel. God will whip you, boys. You better get on that. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm standing there in that hallway that morning. I said, oh God, if she has to go to one giver of good and bad at that time, the best rest home in Elkin, the nicest one in Elkin. Amen. They call. By the way, they bid on them patients in there. Do you know that? They do. Those heart patients, they go in there for rehab. And I mean, those social workers go in there and they try to beat each other there, I think. It's sort of like the funeral homes used to be. Did you know funeral homes used to be in the ambulance service? And Bud Wishon said, now that's what he said, Brother Bud Wishon said, they used to race to calls to see who would get you. Can you imagine having a car wreck? You're laying, that's bad, this message is going the wrong way. I'm surprised the pastor ain't pulled a plug on this. You lay out there at the broke leg, man, you hear two sirens come from the north, one come from the south. They get there at the same time and double bill you. Anyway, I'm moving on. But that's bad. My wife's somewhere just shaking her head. Look, you married me. But I'm just simply telling you tonight, brother, God will give you. You might as well laugh a little bit. Some of you need that. You're going through a hard time in your life, honey. You might as well trust God to laugh about it and say amen about it. Don't bellyache and gripe and say, God's done me wrong. Listen, man, I've been saved for 40 years. I've been preaching 33 and a half years. I've been to the north, I've been to the south, I've been to the east, I've been everywhere. But I tell you, God has never, not one time, done me wrong, and His grace has always been sufficient.
Amen.
I laid on a hospital bed one time. They took a needle. It looked like 15 foot long, but it wasn't. And they said, "Now, Mr. Cawthorn, we're going to take a needle. We're going to take this needle and we're going to put her right here. And you're going to leave that eye open. You can't close it." They laid me on a bed and they put that needle and they began to push. Honey, I seen monkeys driving elephants. Amen? I mean, man. You say, did it hurt? I'm not even going to answer that question. Woo-wee! But that old doctor who wasn't a saved man looked at me. He said, "Sir, I don't understand you." He said, "Most people's coming off the bed." But I'll tell you what happened. The trio come in the room. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And every one of them got me by the hand and was holding my hand. Amen. I'm telling you, God will give you grace tonight. You don't have to look like you fell in a barrel of pickles and you're drinking lemon juice. I tell you, God will help you and He'll give you grace in every situation. You say, "But preacher, you don't understand, my mother-in-law's moved in with me." God will give you grace for that. It'd probably take a lot of... One fellow said he had mixed emotions about his mother-in-law. Said she ran off a cliff and got killed. Said she's driving his new Cadillac. Said he just didn't know. That's mean, wasn't it? I got a good mother-in-law. I really have. I come home other day, and I don't take nothing off my daddy-in-law and my mother-in-law. Don't take one thing off of them. Don't expect them to keep me up, neither. I don't want them to. I just threw that in there. And I come home not long ago, man, I look down there and there's a 40-inch television set sitting on my porch. Paid for, my mother-in-law said, "You say, what'd you do?" I unwrapped it and used it for the glory of... Well, I can't say for the glory of God because I watch the Dodgers on it, but I use it. And I'm just telling you, God will give you grace. It's okay to laugh a little bit. God will give you grace. Amen. Number four, I done touched this last night and I'm not even going to get in this much. But God will keep you separating grace. And Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'm going to put that part in my message on death. You know what the rod and the staff is, don't you? The rod's a little bitty club that the shepherd used. It's a type of the Word of God. The staff is a big old long thing with a crook end on it, and he would use that to rescue the sheep. That's a type of the Holy Ghost. And God said, when you go through a death, or you're about to die, or your loved one's about to die, you know how you get comfort? Through the Word of God and through the Spirit. You don't get comfort by running out of the church and saying, "I'll never go back again." You get comfort by staying with God. And then, by the way, let me give you this. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Can I ask you a question? Has a shadow ever hurt you? As Dr. Joe Arthur says, a shadow of a gun can't shoot you, and a shadow of a knife can't cut you, brother. It's just a shadow, thank God. And God will give you grace. Amen. You're saved by grace. Number five, and I'm closing tonight. Amen. Getting done early. It'll be all right. Number five. Can I give you this tonight after a sermon like this? I need to get done. Don't. Number five. Let me give you this. Grace for the straying. You know what? The devil, Brother Jack Treber said the devil bothered him with this. "The devil ever done this to you, preacher?" Well, you know, I'm 51 years old. I'll be honest with you, 50 bothered me. I don't know. It's just something. It's just a number. I mean, it's just all it is. By the way, you say, "What about them birthdays?" Well, I'd rather have them than not have them. But, you know something? The devil come to me and said, "Boy, you've wasted your life. You ought to have done this, you ought to have done it." Okay, well, what about from this day forward? Did you know God will give you grace? If you strayed away from God, God will give you grace. There might be somebody here tonight. You're not living as close to God as you ought to be. But can I say to you, God's got grace for those that maybe ain't living the way they ought to. Hey, get them right back in line.
Amen.
You see, God don't give up on people as near as fast as me and you do sometimes. Man, we get, "Well, praise God, God won't ever use them again." Well, hold your mule. You don't know that. I'll give you two illustrations in the Bible. Peter is an apostle. Peter loves God. Now, Peter's like me. He had a mouth. He said the first thing come to his mind. Sometimes he didn't have a good mind. He just said anything come to his mind. But you know what Peter did? Peter loved the Lord. You say, "I don't know if I believe that." Well, I'll tell you what. Over there in John 13, when Jesus washed their feet, He said, "With me you have no part." He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about apostleship. Peter said, "Lord, don't only wash my feet, wash my head, wash me all." He said, "No, just wash your feet." But you know, there come a day Peter got backslid. And Peter denied the Lord. Peter denied the Lord the second time. Peter denied the Lord the third time. The Bible said the cock crew, and he went out and wept bitterly. Bible scholars say it's a wonder Peter hadn't killed himself that night. Brother, he was in bad shape. And I guess old Peter, amen, when Jesus got hung on the cross, Peter said, "Well, I've denied him." You don't even find a record where Peter's around. Peter said, I don't guess Jesus has anything to do with me no more. I guess I've just messed up. I mean, I was with him. I saw him feed the 5,000. I saw him raise Jairus' daughter. I even saw him heal my mother-in-law. I saw all the things he did. But I've just messed up so bad, I don't guess he'd love me anymore. You ever felt that way? Brother, the devil is the biggest liar they are in the world. The devil will lie to you, and I'm telling you, more Christian people are used of the devil than they are of God. You know why? We let the devil talk to us. I do it in my preaching. I do. They'll say, well, you didn't do no good job. And he tells me that so much, I think I didn't do it, which I don't want to think I didn't do a good job. But I'm saying this, I don't need to listen to the devil either. I don't know what it is, but I told the preacher tonight, if I'm sitting there and I don't look like I'm enjoying the singing, a lot of times I'm praying, man. I mean, right before I get ready to preach, it's a battle. I mean, it just starts. I don't know what it is. The devil hates this Bible. The devil hates the Word of God. But I tell you right now, friend, tonight, the devil will tell you all kind of stuff, but God will use you. Yeah. Now, by the way, there's consequences for sin. If you get out here and you mess up and you're a preacher and you run off with somebody, I think you ought to step out of the pulpit. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I know you say, but that brother, I don't give a flip what the brethren are doing. I don't do what the brethren do. Amen. I don't preach for those fellas. I ain't going to bless what they're doing. You say, well, preacher, wouldn't you go help them? No, sir. I will not. If they ain't got enough sense to step out of the pulpit, I'm not going to get in their pulpit. No, sir. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, deacon, same way. There's consequences for sin. You know, we want to have all love and we don't have no consequences. There's consequences. Peter had consequences for his sin. By the way, Jesus dealt with his sin later. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Three times he made him confess him, for every time he had denied him. But I want to show you Mark 16. Listen, this right in the middle of the resurrection. Mark 16, 7. The Bible said, but go your way, talking to the women at the tomb, and tell his disciples and Peter. You tell that old strayer that I love him. You tell him I'm going to meet him in Galilee. You tell him to be there. You tell him, hey, I ain't give up on him. Thank God I've messed up in my Christian life, but God never gives up on me. I ain't always been perfect. You say, preacher, you've been saved since you was 11 years old. But yeah, I've not done everything right. I have got cold as a dog's nose. And if you admit it, you have too. I mean, brother, sometimes we're as cold and we're far away from God as we can be. We try to act spiritual. But we ain't sometimes. But you know what God does? He loves us anyhow. You better learn this real quick. God blesses everybody above their faults. I mean, you think about old David. I was reading about him a while ago. I mean, man, David's a man after God's own heart. He turned mean as a devil. I mean, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. I was over at the gas station reading that a while ago. He turned mean, and then he had Uriah killed. I mean, and then wrote that letter to Joab, and Uriah walked back down to that army with his death warrant in his pocket. Didn't even realize he was going to die. I mean, David, man, he was better than that. I mean, but you know what God did? Old Nathan, the prophet, come over there and said, David, he told him that story and said, thou art the man. And David said, I confess my sin. And old Nathan said, God hath pardoned thy sin. I preached from Psalm 51 the other night, and praise God, David said, I acknowledge my sin. That's what he said. By the way, I'm glad when we... And by the way, the problem today is people don't want to acknowledge their sin.
Yeah.
They want forgiveness without acknowledgement.
Yeah.
I ought not tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I had one of them birds call me not long ago. I told the preacher about it. He wasn't in the program. He wasn't qualified to preach. This is what he said to me. Now, God has led me to get on your stations. Okay. And that, by the way, that term's overused. God led me. And I said, okay. I said, let's ask a few questions. Are you King James? Oh, yeah, I'm King James. I said, okay. I said, how's your marriage? Well, now let me tell you about that. Been married here and there. And he got to tell about it. And I said, well, sir, I said, I can't tell you you can't come on. But I said, I'll be honest with you, I don't like people to come on like that. I'll just tell you right now, you're mean and unforgiving and you're just this and that. And he kept, boy, the more he talked, the madder he got. And all of a sudden, boom, the phone went dead. I looked over at Christy. I said, what happened to God led me? God let him get on. He sawed me out. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. When you confess your sin, God will forgive you and love you. By the way, he loves you anyway. He wants you to get right. God don't want you to stay wrong at him. God wants you to get right with him. You might be here tonight and have something in your heart like I did about running that day. God said, you got to run. And I did. I didn't know that was in my heart. You know, sometimes we don't pray enough to really know what's in our heart. Our heart's desperately wicked. But you know, God will give you grace.
Amen.
Can I close with this one? Close means you got 30 more minutes, so don't get excited. I'm going to teach this preacher my bad habits. And he'll be calling me in 6 months. Brother, you wrecked my church. But let me tell you something. Did you know there's a man in the Bible, old Barnabas? And Barnabas was an encourager.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was one of these type fellas. I'll tell you who Barnabas was like. And I'm honest, I pick at him and say all kind of bad things about him, just aggravating him. But Barnabas was like Scott Caudle. Dr. Scott Caudle is one of the most happy men I've ever seen in my life. He's just an encourager. I mean, Hey, brother. Hey, I mean, I'm not making it's the way he does. And he'll encourage you. He'll text you. He'll pray for you. That man will go the extra mile. Last year, I was going through the fire and the flood. He took 20 minutes down in Brazos, Georgia. I called him. He sat there and talked to me about some problems in my life that we need to talk about. Man, we talked about that thing, and I appreciate him doing that. But you know what kind of fellow Barnabas was? Well, you know how Paul was. Paul's a good man of God, too. So they go off on their first missionary journey, and they take a man named Mark with them. By the way, Mark is Barnabas' nephew. They go out and they take him out there and they get to Pamphylia. And Mark decides he don't want to go. For some reason, he decides he'd rather go home and watch the Dodgers play or play around the golf or go. I don't know what he did, but he left. I don't know why he left the work. Well, they started to go again, and Paul said, let's go. Barnabas said, all right, said, let's take Mark. And Paul said, wait a minute. Paul said, he wasn't faithful over there, and he left, and I don't believe we ought to take him. Barnabas said, well, he's family, and blood's thicker than water, and I'm going. You ever heard that? Blood's thicker than what? Blood ain't thicker than what it comes to Jesus, friend. Even if you got to take a stand against your own family, you better stand for what's right. Amen. I don't care who it is. You better stay for what's right. Amen. But here's they split. The Bible said this contention so sharp they couldn't continue together. By the way, I've heard preachers stand up and sing Barnabas' praises after he did that. But I don't find in my Bible Barnabas mentioned anymore after that. I find that Silas comes on the scene and God replaces him. And by the way, an old Mark's a failure. You say, boy, I tell you what, I just write old Mark off. Well, God didn't. God didn't. You know, God's got grace for the straying. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy, the last, probably they say this is the oldest book that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy 4:11. He said, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. You know, I looked that word up there. It means usable, use. In other words, I can use him. God can use him. He said, God can use old Mark again. And by the way, God did use Mark again. You know what Mark did? He wrote one of the four Gospels, the book of Mark. And he wrote it only 16 chapters. And it's the shortest Gospel. And Mark betrays Christ as the servant. Old Mark got humble and wrote that Gospel portraying Jesus Christ as the servant. And Mark wrote it as a servant. He wrote it swiftly, 16 chapters. You know what God did? He had grace. Grace. Let me tell you something. Grace tonight is for you. In any situation, the favor of God. God don't just, listen. Now, I'm not one of these fellows that God loves you and he'll just, you know, you can do anything you want to. But God's not up in heaven with a great big stick ready to hit you on the head. Can I just tell you, God will do everything and give you every chance in the world before he chastens you? I mean, you don't just go home and for no reason grab a hickory stick and beat the devil out of your kid. You know, you don't do that. Amen? You just don't do that. Amen? But let me tell you something. Now, God don't want to whip us. God don't want to have to pull his fellowship away from us. By the way, God don't have to do that to an individual or a church. God wants to extend grace. You know what God is? He's in the getting right business. There might be somebody here. We're going to close in a minute. Now, this comes to the close of the preaching part of this revival meeting. Now, I'm going to say it like this, and I say it lovingly, kind. You know I love you. Revival's up to you. I've done my part, and the preacher's done his part, and the choir's done their part, and everybody's done their part, and everybody that gave done their part, and everybody's done their part. But now, what about you as an individual? If you'll have, if you say, well, did we have revival? You'll know next week. You'll know if that fire's burning your heart. You'll know if people get things in their life that may not be exactly where it ought to be. If you get them right and get the grace of God in your life, you'll know if you had a meeting. You'll know. And listen, friend, my heart's desires, I hope, we close in just a minute here, and the last amen is said. I hope I left this church better than what I did when I found it. Man, if I didn't, I have failed as a preacher. I've failed, and I don't want to fail, but let me tell you that God's got grace for you. I don't know what situation. You might be a young person in this church, and you say, preacher, nobody knows what I'm going through. Friend, God's got grace for you. You may be here lost tonight, but God loves you. Don't you ever... You said, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Moses was a murderer and he went to heaven. David was an adulterer and he went to heaven. Amen. Noah got drunk. Now, I'm not excusing sin. Now, one fellow said, I preached that, said I excuse sin. I'm just simply telling you that God forgives. God forgives. And because God forgives, we better forgive. You ever seen anybody say this? Well, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget. You ever heard that? Let me tell you this, God forgets too. Amen. I ain't got time to get into it, but did you know your sins are not covered? They're gone. They're gone. And I can take that. The covering of the sin was an Old Testament doctrine. in the Old Testament. He said they're behind his back. They're sewed up in a bag. They're in the sea of forgiveness. If they were them places, somebody could dig them out. But in the New Testament, he said he'd take them away. You ask me where my sins are. They're gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone. And God forgives tonight. Now we're going to do like this. Let's all stand. Let's have the instrument players come. We're just going to play tonight, I believe. Unless the pastor wants to do anything different. And maybe you got a burden and the altar's been used every night. And maybe tonight you say, preacher, I've just got something I can't handle, or I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you'll just come and say, man, I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to let the grace of God take over, and I'm going to have the joy and the victory back in my life. You know, I've lived depressed as a Christian, as a saved person. I've lived discouraged. But you know what? You don't need to stay there, man. You need to snap out of that. Let's bow our heads and pray, and then we'll have some music here in just a minute. Father, would you help the message tonight? And Lord, I just sowed the seed. You take it and use it for your glory. Thank you for letting me be here. Will you work now in this invitation? It's the most important part of the service. In Jesus' name. All right, heads bowed, eyes.